This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruins sports. I am your sometimes host, Bill Shirley.
You're 0 for 2 here. How do I teach you how to be a winner? You keep losing all the time.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, I told you I'll watch Fargo.
That's Fargo, huh? Okay,
good. It's good stuff.
Good, man. Good, good, good. I will watch it. I still have to get through Mr. Robot. I still have to get through a lot of
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it is. It is, at least so far. I'm in season two. Guys.
So you found you don't watch as much TV as before?
I don't.
For the last like year and a half.
I don't. I fall asleep.
I used to get through a lot. And we had a whole segment. Watch this show, right?
Yeah.
And now, not so much because...
Jake, is that on your
I'm
new...
I'm not watching nearly as much
control
TV.
Board? Is that a new
no,
control
No, it's
board?
Here somewhere. Oh, it's right here. Watch this show. It went along like that.
Yeah.
And Mike did a little ditty for me.
And now it's gone.
I'm not watching any TV. It's really depressing.
But you did watch Fargo enough to get that quote from
Almost
me.
Done with that last season.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, welcome to the What's Brewing Show. This is part of the What's Brewing Network, which is this show and...
Crickets?
No, there's the bare minimum.
There is the bare minimum.
Which you just dropped one 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
A couple. The bare minimum.
That's yeah. right. The bare minimum. So this show...
I'm thinking of adding another show. I haven't reached out yet.
What is it
But there's
about?
A show out there that I might reach out to try to...
Really?
Have join the network.
Is it a secret show or is it Bruins... centric, or is it something totally different?
TBD.
Awesome. So you don't know yet. All right, good. So listen, you can go ahead and reach us.
Oh, I definitely made another connection for my retirement podcast, my post.
Well, you know,
my
I already
post
told
career
you.
Podcast.
I'm coming back for the post.
Yeah.
Retirement stuff. I'm coming back for that.
Hopefully, by the time that is, it's too. You know, it's enough time has passed where we can't get canceled or anything. I feel like the canceling is done.
But
I feel like canceling is almost done.
But we'll be so old that we won't even care anymore, Jake, if
yeah,
we are canceling.
I already don't care.
Yeah, I know.
Except for the fact that
you have a job.
I have a job that might give me... Yeah. Anyway.
Listen, go ahead and reach us on X at What's Brewing Show. Email us, whatsbrewingshow@gmail.com. The best way...
What's that?
And the biggest way, not the beg way, but the biggest way is whatsbrewing.substack.com. Right?
Also, whatsbrewing.com.
Eh,
Patreon,
Substack.
Substack, tomato, tomato.
Okay. Well,
we love you
way,
both. It's cheaper on the Substack.
Jake.
How much?
$2.
Just $2.
Wait. Is that from the actual movie?
Yeah, it is.
Nice. The way Mike said it, he's been saying it like that.
$2.
For 10 years now?
Yeah, well, there's one part where the guy's like falling off a cliff and he's like, I want my $2. I think that's what Mike is channeling.
Oh, okay.
There's like, a few $2 in it, but this is
okay.
One of the early ones before he's...
Better Off Dead. Great movie, guys.
Great movie.
Great movie. Listen. You can go ahead and check Jake out, not check Jake out, but the
Whoa.
Show on YouTube. That's
Very
right.
Svelte.
There are some slideshows going on
mm-hmm.
with the most updated podcasts on there. So check it out. And then the merch, you can check it in the show links. Just check it out there. I don't know the link. It's very confusing, but buy some stuff. And Jake still to this day does not know if he gets any kind of royalties from any of the stuff that's being purchased, but it would be still really nice.
I'd really like to investigate. I think, you know. Like Seamus has spent, I think, $7,000 on there. So we probably are making some money on that somehow.
I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, they haven't even texted me back or emailed me back since I tried to. It's funny. We have an account with them through the Grizzlies as well.
And so
I don't know. Maybe my partner Monster on the Grizzlies is reaping the benefits of the What's Brewing Show.
I don't know.
Merch purchases. Who knows? Who
Either
knows?
Way.
Yeah.
And finally, of course, you can call us at 805-399-4WBS. Suck it, Reign of Troy.
And we actually have a call today. So why don't we get to that? You know, we make that plea every once in a while, especially in the off season when maybe, you know, we're not getting as many calls because, I don't know. What do people care about, Bill? Really? Honestly, even though we're a UCLA all sports podcast. And obviously we all love basketball.
Sure.
Especially
you.
You too. You other people. Football makes the world go round. You know, so.
Hey guys, it's the Crispy Bruin. Just wanted to call and say, great game on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a
game that felt that good all year. In the grand scheme of things, it kind of doesn't mean anything.
Us and Steve O'Sett. But it really felt like we turned the corner.
It felt like for the first time all season, this team was having fun, I guess, which
I guess it's a weird thing to say about
a basketball team, like, but even if they've been playing well, it feels like they've been playing tight. And this one really felt loose, felt like the guys were all getting involved, clapping it up. Mara especially just looked like he's having a blast in like the 5 minutes he was playing. So just feel great for all the guys. So just
have more fun, I guess.
It tends to work out well. Go Bruins.
Thanks, Crispy.
No, thank you. Thank you for that. Here's the deal. I totally agree with you. Mara was only in the game for like, 3 to 5 minutes.
Looking all big and lanky.
It's more on lanky, but it was cool to see that first of all, he made a shot and then he dove for a ball out of bounds into the Bruins sideline and they all
Didn't break in half
and they all started cheering for him. He loved it. And that was like the microcosm of
You not entertained? I think that's what he was saying.
He was so cool to see because it was like a little microcosm of where the coach wants their mindset to go. He's trying to build that culture of defensive toughness and just that little dive, even though he didn't get the ball, he dove for it. All 17 feet of him dove for it. And it was good to see. It was good to see him cheering and having a good time. Good to see the team, cheering him on and just rooting for the guy. So totally agree with you, Crispy. And it is awesome to see them having fun for the first time all freaking season.
Yeah. And 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
No.
And almost 4 out of 4, but 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
Three out of four ain't bad.
All right. Well, Bill, I think with that, thank you once again for keeping the hotline alive. We need a call or two in the off season. But I guess now it's time to bring on the third member of the show. That is one Mike Regalado.
M-I-K-E.
Mike Regalado.
So let's call him and get to what, Bill?
The bro-affiliated headlines. Bro.
All right, so now we have Mike Regalado on.
Big applause, Big Mike.
The line. Mike is remote today. Mikey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How y'all doing out there in
Podcast View?
You're far. You're way the heck. You're Podcastville.
Podcastville. We're in the city of LA, and you're somewhere out of the city.
I'm in the city.
How are you?
I'm on the opposite end.
I think you're more county, aren't
you? You guys don't have a mayor over there, a separate mayor, a separate place? Is it LAPD, the patrol area?
I think I am county.
What city do you live in?
I'm in tech.
Not to get too specific.
County, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you live
right?
Don't you live in like Montebello or something?
Montebello is like 3 blocks east. Commerce is right here, and so is Los Angeles.
Okay, well, we need to do some investigation to find out if you're actually in the city of LA or not. I know I am in the city of LA because the Valley should have seceded 40 years ago, but they won't let us. So I am forced to be in LA City, and so I will never not admit or not maintain or demand good to be recognized as living in LA City because I have to deal with this freaking...
All your taxes would...
Yeah, exactly.
All your taxes would explode because you'd have to owe the actual city of Los Angeles.
Oh, F off. Do you know how much money is generated by the Valley, Mike?
All of their stuff.
The fucking city is an anchor on us proud Valleyites up here.
go be San...
Get out of here with
that. Go be San Fernando.
Get
out of here. Go be San Fernando. Go be basic.
Wow.
Anywho, as the person who actually lives in the city of Los Angeles, Mikey, nice to see you. We have you on the FaceTime. We finally got the board to work. That's going good.
How's your gas there over there, Jake?
Everything's more expensive, Mike. That's why I'm not going to friggin' back down on this. I know why Bill's so quiet.
You've heard my rants. You heard my rants like every day. Every time I'm on this show, I rant about how much I hate
government
this.
Totally sucks. Another effort.
Hate this.
All right. Anyway, it's Mike. But it's the Brofield headlines. Do you have a headline?
You could totally leave. Hey, how's Salt Lake City looking, Jake?
It looks pretty fucking good, Mike. Let me tell you. I'm going to move to Tennessee. I'm going to move to Virginia. I'll move to Florida or Texas for all I care. For all you care, pal. You never see me again.
No, you will. He will. It'll just be on FaceTime.
And I'll be a lot happier.
Yeah.
I love California.
I can go to those states, bro.
Anyways, Mikey, do you have any profile headlines?
You're not wrong there. No, I do not. Nothing breaking news worthy or anything like that. Because wonderful. everything that's been out on Bro, we're going to talk about in this episode anyway. So,
okay, well then I guess so. We can get on to not Bill's favorite part of the show quite yet. Bill, calm down, relax.
I know
he's halfway out the door already.
I am.
He comes over. I feed him dinner, and he's like, oh my gosh. Let's get going. Let's go. Time to go. Basketball talk. Here we go. Mike, you want to do men's or women's? Basketball.
Two women's. Women's basketball.
All right, Mikey. Well, we have women's basketball to talk about. What the hell is going on with Lauren Betts?
I have no idea. It was, you know, nothing. The only thing we got beforehand was that she was out for a medical related reason. And that was the same thing we got on Sunday. And Sunday, I actually attended the game. And afterwards, before the post game presser, which I'll get into afterwards, they said, you know, we still don't know anything. So they kind of, they didn't say it, but they implied, hey, let's not ask coach this question, which, you know, fine, whatever. There are other things they have to worry about right now. Although getting bets back is a huge issue.
Like losing three of the last five?
Yeah.
And so, losing to one of the non-ranked opponents?
You know what, though? Washington State was technically like 26, 27. They're actually pretty good.
Oh, Mike. Oh,
is 26, 27 technically ranked now?
Okay.
Sorry, Mike.
No, but it's significant to the fact that they're an NCAA tournament projected team. I put a lot of weight into that, you know, men's and women's. They're not ranked,
Cougs
obviously, but they're just...
The Cougs
Washington State Cougars.
I say, I hope that the Bruins are a projected team.
No, that was the good thing. Okay, so we're going to intertwine through this really quickly, but you get a loss at Utah. Earlier in that day, they went back to number two in the nation. So obviously after the Utah loss, it was up in the air what was going to happen pending the next two games. So you have Washington coming in on Thursday, and that was rough because you could automatically tell that the Bruins were just not in sync without Lauren Betts. And at times, they actually look like the Bruins of the last few years, which haven't been bad, just not dominant, not like we've seen. Luckily, in the Washington game, you know, Charisma Osborne came alive, as she does.
She's
just kind of like automatic in that way. If she's not going in the first half, she's definitely going to get going, especially when the team is, you know, behind the eight ball. So she got going. I think UCLA went on something like an 11-0 run in the third quarter because it was pretty much neck and neck up until that point, like the 5-minute mark of the third quarter. And UCLA just ran away with it. Took down Washington, no problem. Sunday comes along and they take on Washington State, and it's the same thing. They're having a lot of trouble getting anything going offensively or defensively, and they were just down big. They were down by 20 points in the third quarter, and yet without Lauren Betts, they fight their way back. They tie it I think within the last minute, hoping at the very least this goes to overtime, although we saw what happened with Utah. And UCLA just did not have enough in the tank. Just a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of turnovers, which gave Washington State the leg up. But the fact that the Bruins fought back, huge, and you want to praise that because that's, you know, when you're losing one of your best players, one of the best players, I would say, in the nation, that says something for the rest of the team to kind of galvanize and come together and work towards, you know, getting the W. It unfortunately didn't happen. And then, you know, the postgame happened, and it was really interesting. So I already said that they, you know, kind of basically said, hey, we don't know anything, so let's ask other questions.
Bother asking.
Corey, basically. They don't know anything. That's what they put in the release. And, that's all we have to go on. And we haven't heard anything since. But, yeah, Corey came up and sort of Kiki Rice, and they were both just, you can tell they were pissed, they were mad, they were sad. Corey Close was getting a bit emotional. And it seemed a little bit, I was talking with another reporter, and it just seemed like, you know, is there a little bit extra there? Like, you know, she was also referencing family and how the family has gotten together, and it just was kind of vague. Was it like the basketball family or actual families, you know? So it was a little different from a Corey Close post-game presser. So I don't know if it's any indication, like a dark indication, that Lauren Betts is going to be gone for a while. Although, you know, talking with other people, the way they put it out there, you know, they haven't been really shy about talking about injuries. But the way they put this out there, it seemed like kind of maybe this was a COVID thing. So hopefully it's COVID or illness. Again, I don't know. But if that's the case, you know, get better, best case scenario, come back. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Best case scenario. I just hope I don't hear something about like an ACL or a fractured bone where she'll be out for an extended amount of time, if not the entire season. Because that would just once again put UCLA women's basketball in just a tough position. And especially since they've
how good are they without
this
her?
Hard? They're pretty good. I would say they are a top 15 team,
right.
But they're definitely a top 5 team with her. And I'm not taking anything away from Charisma Osborne because Charisma is the leading scorer. She's definitely the best backcourt player, but clearly Lauren Betts is the best frontcourt player. But it's not just losing her. It's the fact that they all really vibed together. They played some incredible basketball, and they found that out in the second half of the Washington and Washington State game. But it just wasn't the same from the get-go, from the starting gun, and you can kind of tell that. But this team is just so deep and has a lot of veterans and has a lot of resilience that I think that Corey Close can figure something out if there is something long-term. But again, we have no idea. Hopefully this is a short-term thing. Hopefully we see Lauren Betts playing at Cal on Friday and at Stanford on Sunday.
Yeah, now
that's the part that's going to be interesting.
They're 2.5 games back in the conference now.
Which is not bad.
They still play all of those teams that are ahead of them on the schedule. But I mean, still, obviously, the Pac-12 is a murderer's row when it comes to these women basketball teams.
It's insane.
They still have 4 ranked opponents on the schedule.
They're just shuffling
Stanford, Colorado, Oregon State, included in that batch, and Utah again. But they're at Stanford, and they're at Oregon State, and they host the Utes, and they host Colorado. But Mike, so what? Do you think, like, let's give a, they're 2.5 back, they're in 4th place in the conference right now. With Betts coming back, let's say it's very short term, do you think that the goal is still a reasonable goal is still to win the conference?
Oh, yeah. I would still say that they are one of the top 2 teams in the conference.
And they drop down from a 1 seed down to a 2 seed in the bracketology overall.
Currently, yes. ESPN, yeah.
That would still be a real nice slot for them. But if she doesn't come back then, and obviously probably revised expectations with the, you know, with the other teams of the Pac-12 going, what would you, you know, not what seed in the tournament would they be, but how would you think, would treading water in the conference from where they are at now and finishing somewhere in the 2-3, you know, like the 3-4 range in the conference without Lauren Betts coming back, would that be a reasonable goal for them at that point, or is it worse, or is it better?
Honestly, I would say
that's a good question, Jake.
I appreciate that.
Just because there are so many good teams in this conference, they could be anywhere between 3-6, and that's not bad because that is that's a very small margin. Like they are the 3-6 teams in this conference. I would even say 7th place. I forget who's in 7th right now, but they're all very good. But unfortunately, you know, someone's going to have to win. You know, when conferences are good, they usually eat themselves and someone goes down where you thought that was going to, they were going to contend for the conference. Oh, not anymore. They just lost 2 in a row.
That would take you all the way down to what you're making to make your point. The 7th place team is 4-4 in conference, and that's the Cougs who just beat the Bruins.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Everybody else is at least a game under 500 or 2 games.
And that's the thing. I would not be surprised if there were 3-7. Pac-12 teams in the NCAA tournament at the end of the season. That's how good they are. Obviously, like I said at the beginning of the year, conference championship, this is the best time to strike, or Final Four. That all hinges now on how Lauren Betts is going to do. But if Betts isn't there, I could see them. Like I said, they kind of look like the Corey Close teams of the last 2-3 years, which isn't bad. But they're just, those teams just weren't able to contend for a title. Even though they had some big wins here and there, they weren't able to string a lot of top 25 wins. Going like 3-3 against a top 25 actually isn't bad for a team. But when you're in the Pac-12 conference where a lot of those teams are in your conference, that's what makes it tough.
No doubt. Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good, I mean, it sucks being in the middle of the, you know, middle towards getting towards the end of the conference season, and you don't know what the availability of your one of your best players is going to be. So I guess we'll just put a pin in that and see how they play going down the line. But who did you say they have this week coming up, Mike?
They are at Cal, who's pretty decent at on Friday up at Haas.
Megan will probably be at that game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, Megan, she'll be like,
Brooke, dude, send some really picks. Great.
Yeah, she you know, she got onto the she got onto the Cal Instagram page at the last basketball game, the one against Stanford.
Oh, nice.
Really? Yeah, when they beat Stanford. Yeah, I have a picture somewhere. I'll show you. Yeah. She's having fun. She's going to a lot of games.
Yeah. And then they are at Stanford on Sunday, and that's the big one.
Stanford
is now, and they, dear God, in the non-conference, they looked a little, you know, like a baby giraffe that's just born, you know, wobbly legs. Can't figure shit out, but they've grown up pretty quickly because they are looking so good. It's insane. Like, what was it? Tara Vanderveer just got the record for most wins by a college basketball head coach.
Yeah,
and it's coming at the right time too, because they are absolutely looking just like freaking battle tested warriors.
Well, let's hope.
I hope Lauren Betts can be back for this. So.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the big one this Sunday. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see how it goes then, and obviously we're rooting for the Bruins against Stanford. I'll plead the fifth against the Golden Bears, but no, I'm rooting for the Bruins. Let's go. That's a big matchup. Sucker Jamal.
Really?
Jamal. That's right.
I wouldn't root against the Bruin ladies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but a big shout out.
What's the name of your podcast, bro?
Well, I'll just tell you this right now. It's very, very frustrating because I've had to wear it all year. I have yet for the Bruins to get over on Cal all year long. We lost in football. Right? We lost in basketball. It's baloney. It's absolute baloney. So no, we need to be able to play this goddamn drop, and I haven't been able to all goddamn season, man. Where is it? Where's go Golden Bears? There it is.
Go Bruins, beat the Golden Bears, beat them as hard as you can, beat them with impunity.
And it hasn't happened yet. So please, please, Bruins women's basketball team, go beat the goddamn Golden Bears. All right, Mikey, let's get to the Bears.
Cheers. Cheers.
All right. Bill wants to talk about us. The big winning is SC.
Hey, so MIKE, were you at the game?
Yes.
How is it? I've only been to Galen once, and it was like, what, freaking 10, 15 years ago. How is
it? Yeah, I mean, I always describe it as cavernous. It has this weird vibe. It's
a barn.
You know, it's the design is really cool, especially the window looking towards downtown. But they close it just because, you know, all that extra light is going to, like, you know, be weird. So basically, the north end of the stadium behind one of the baskets, there's the student section, and the rest of it where there should be seats is just this big black curtain. It just looks weird, you know? and, you know, the perception I can imagine from the shooters is just, you know, throws shooters off. And that's the thing. Every UCLA men's basketball game I've been to at Galen, they have just shot so poorly. And it was actually the same thing this time, but this time their defense showed up.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. I have a question for you, and okay. I want you to answer it.
What?
The question is,
yes.
How the F do the Bruins shoot the same, basically the same field goal percentage as the stupid-ass Trojans? How the heck do the Bruins get outshot by the stupid-ass Trojans from the three-point line, 46% to 44%, have about the same amount of turnovers, and then whoop the shit out of those goddamn Trojans on their own home court by 15 points? Where the heck was the difference in this dang game if all the shooting stuff was the same or better for SC? What the hell, Mike? Tell me how it happened.
Do you have the stats in front of you?
We're
remote, so I can't for those listening. We're remote. Do you have the stats in front of you? Because I can't show you mine clearly because I'm on the other side of Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're looking at the stats, Mike. Jesus Christ, we are doing.
Jake,
yeah.
How many rebounds did UCLA?
Aha.
Oh, even better. How many off? How many offensive rebounds did they grab?
Yeah. The Bruins had
15, more than double.
Yeah.
And the Bruins had 43 as opposed to UCLA, USC, who had 29 rebounds. So, yeah, those offensive rebounds, that helped them as they had 17 second chance points.
Little bully
they
ball.
Also, yeah, they also had 12 points off turnovers. That's where this came. It was the little things. Yeah, you're right. I looked at the numbers afterwards. I was like, there's no effing way. Wow. Yeah, they did shoot horribly. But a lot of that was where is this right here? Yeah, a lot of that was in the second half. Where was it? Yeah, because another thing is that UCLA went to the free throw line 18 times in the second half. That's they were 14 for 18. So that's where a lot of their points came from. And a lot of that had to do with defense. UCLA's defense just really, I wouldn't say they completely clamped down like past Cronin teams, but it was much improved. And USC weirdly had no answer for it. They also had some energy boosts at the end of the first half with Adai Mara and Devin Williams.
Like they like ate a mushroom or something like Mario, an energy boost. What is
do,
that?
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp. Yeah. It like all of a sudden it was like, oh damn, where are you guys coming from? But it just really seemed to work out. And it also, it just looked like they were having fun too. Like it was finally a game where it was rough, but they were just able to, you know, pull away in the second half, and it was just, everything was going their way. And that's just the thing. All the momentum was on UCLA side in the second half.
So MIKE, Crispy Bruin made a call. He saved our Google hotline. For at least another month or so. And he said,
Bill.
Yeah.
It's not sponsored by Google. So it's the What's Brewing hotline.
Oh, dear God. Anyways, as I was saying, Crispy Bruin said the same thing. It's like for the first time all season, it looks like they were having fun. And he commented on, and I, replied to this as well. He commented on Mara, right? How he was only in there for like 5 minutes, right? Only in there for 5 minutes, but then seeing him dive for the ball and having him get up and having his teammates cheer him on, him smiling, him laughing. It was like a microcosm of what was happening during that game. They were having fun, and it seems like they're slowly getting in and adapting to the culture that Mick Cronin wants for them moving forward. So it was good. I totally agree with you. And it was, like I said, a good showing, and whooping SC is always a good thing. Especially being after being, what is it? What was Mick there at Galen? 0 for what? 3
0 for 11.
0 and 4. 0 and 4.
Yeah, 0 and 4. There you go.
Yeah, and to see what they were basically very productive every second they were on the court. You saw Mara, who's still kind of getting out-muscled sometimes. Dude needs to put on some meat on them bones. But he was hustling, and he was trying to get the shots off. Devin Williams. He was, as I said on Twitter, he was doing God's work, setting screens at the top of the key, which allowed for some very good passing, which allowed for some really good open shots. And they just put in some really good minutes. Now, can that be sustained? Hopefully, but that's a good sign going forward.
It is. It is a good sign. So we'll see where they end up against the Oregon schools coming up. So let's talk about those Oregon schools, though, man. I mean, I believe first it's... Is it Oregon or Oregon State first on the list?
Oregon State. That's Thursday.
Okay. So, and you're going to both of these games, right? Because they're home games. So you're going to be for both of them?
I will only be at Oregon State, but also I will be on Oregon Eugene Radio on Friday. What? I forgot about that.
Oh, very good.
4 p.m. Pacific. I'll send out that link. I'll put it out on the Twitters and stuff.
Make sure you talk about there. The Ducks are wimpy and nice beaver.
That's right.
Sorry,
okay.
The Ducks, it's duck country. So it'll be after the Oregon State game and before the Oregon game.
Well, let's talk about it. Oregon State, just real quick. I mean, is Coach Tinkle, is he in for a win this time? And, that was one of the rare wins early in the season for the UCLA Bruins. Do you think it's going to be, do they have revenge on their mind? Or do you think UCLA's just at a much better place where they think they can sweep this series this year?
You know, it's interesting because that was... That was a pretty solid win, and it's one of the few that UCLA has had in conference play. But that's looking like a really, really good win because Oregon State has not been, they've not been horrible. They beat USC. And really quickly, sidebar, how about the fact that USC was a top 25 preseason pick and now they're last in the conference? Like, is that just misperception or is that Andy Enfield just doing
we should
a
call
horrible
Wayne
job?
And Troy and ask him. Not that they care about basketball.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so yeah, they've had a rough stretch, but then they go and beat freaking Arizona 83-80. That's another thing. Arizona, they're good. Are they good enough? You know,
they've shown some some warts lately. Arizona really has shown some warts, but they're still good. So, and if UCLA would have beat them, I would have said that's a damn good win. You know,
exactly.
So
yeah.
So it look, I think going back to Oregon State and Oregon, I think this will be a telltale sign of if they can come out of here. Look, minimum, they should win one. They should win one. But the way they're playing, I mean, and I know Oregon's is a better team than Oregon State, but I think at home, the way they're playing now, I think they should be able to come out with two wins.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you
Oregon
don't,
State is definitely...
You don't think so?
I think it'll still be tough. And honestly, I like where UCLA is going. I think... Rather, the most important thing with the UCLA men's basketball team is not just that they're getting better, is that they can keep that consistency. And going on the road again is going to really prove that. Yeah, sure, they went on the road to USC, but you know there were a lot of Bruin fans there that was across town. Last time they actually went to out on the road, they got their butts kicked by Utah. So that's what I want to see first. If we can see more consistency and they at least play a tough game, I think in the long run, this team will be is headed in the right direction. But right now, it's actually just tough to figure out, especially, you know, Oregon. I can't figure them out. Oregon State, they look a little better. And Jordan Pope is, yeah, that dude's a beast. But honestly, with all three of these teams, you just don't know what team is going to show up, especially UCLA. They've looked consistent the last four games. But like I said before, is that sustainable? Are they going to continue to flow and have that chemistry the way they have the last four games? I don't know. That's my big question.
Yeah, well, what do you think? Well, actually, like... Now that they've won 3 out of 4 and almost won 4 out of 4, and they're back to even in the conference, right, or right around even in the conference. What's a reasonable? We asked the reasonable goal for the women's team. What's a reasonable goal for the men's team at this point? Like, why would you be happy with them finishing now? Is it winning at a 3 out of 4 pace, going the rest of the way?
No,
or
I would say.
What are we saying?
I would say if they end this season 500 or a little bit over 500. I think that's considering
in total. Yeah.
I think that's
a good
end. See, it's not how they started, but it's how they finish. If they finish strong and get to 500, because I don't think they're at 500 yet, Jake. I don't think so. But if they get to 500 or a little bit above 500, I think that's a great way to finish. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, right now they're 9-11 and 4-5 in conference. If they get better and just hold off on, if they continue to play the way they're playing now, I could see them third, fourth place in the conference. And if they can at least get to fourth place, that's really important to get that first round bye in the Pac-12 tournament.
And they literally play all 11 Pac-12 teams like to end the season. So that's, you know, it's kind of a weird coinkydink there, but it's like, this is the last go around. Right now, you're 4-5 or whatever in conference. So you're saying like they play, if they go, 11, if they go 6-5 to end and end up dead even in the conference, you'd say that's probably a reasonable goal for them at this point?
I think so. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if they did better than that, then we'd be like, hey, look at this. This is kind of fun. Right. And then, of course, they'll play in the Pac-12 tournament and, you know, whatever, you know, whether they can put together a couple games in there or not. That is still a total pipe dream as far as like any postseason aspirations for this team.
Oh, God.
But
I don't.
The better they look, the better
it's
we feel about them. Right.
It's hopeful for next year.
Yeah. Cautious optimism.
Cautious optimism. Yes.
All right, good. Well, I mean, that's better than where we were, you know, when they lost by 1,100 points in Utah, right? That's much better than that. We're feeling much better now. Okay, well, very good. Mike, go to your fridge and grab a brew of some sort, and me and Bill are going to make a cocktail, and we'll be right back with the symposium.
Do you think we drink too much?
No, we don't drink too much. Men face reality. Women don't. That's why men need to drink.
I hate it when podcasters talk about what they're drinking.
What else am I going to drink, Bob? A fucking Fresca?
Well, thank you for joining the What's Brewing Symposium. Symposium is a conversation over drinks, and that's what we're doing right now. Bill decided to abstain tonight, but he has a Agua. Tropical 7-Up and some water.
Yes.
Mikey, you have a beer right now or something? What do you got? Amongst other things.
And Bill, some of my beers are in there. They should be. Grab one of those if you want.
Oh,
tonight.
Thank you for doing that, because I felt bad. I was like, I'm not going to grab one without asking. So next time.
Oh, I don't care. Oh, just grab a beer, dude. Anyway, my beer of choice tonight is the, I wanted something simple, not too fancy. Just wanted to, you know, have a nice brew. And I grabbed the 805 from Firestone Walker.
Nice.
I hadn't had this in a while. Forgot about this. When you want something that's just like, just nice, grab an 805.
M-I-K-E, I was listening to a book, an audio book that takes place in San Diego, and they mentioned the hazy nice. Beer that you and I like, the Ballast Point.
Awesome.
Is it Ballast Point?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, Mike, we should go to that freaking brewery someday. I'm sure they have it to where it's open to the public. I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dude, let's hit a port here. It's down his way.
Let's do it, man. That's was good.
All right, cool.
Ballast Point's further down than Jorge, isn't it?
Yeah, Ballast Point's in San Diego, but it's going his way. I mean, he's in.
I mean, you have to pick him up and drive another hour and a half.
Oh, I think
that's what you mean.
I think they do have at least a brewery in Long Beach.
We probably should look this up.
I think.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I thought
we'll get back. We'll
look it up while I'm talking about my drink. Somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody go.
M-I-K, go for it.
3, 2, 1, go.
Darn it.
I made myself a nice little cocktail tonight. Mikey, be quiet while I'm talking about my drink while you're looking up. That's
trying.
You're really killing
me. Told
right
me
now.
To look for something.
I'm having a French gimlet, and it is elderflower and gin and lime juice. And I put it in my Hemingway glass because I drank this the other night while watching Midnight in Paris.
That's a good movie.
It's a fun movie.
Woody Allen, my friends.
Although Woody Allen is Woody Allen, but the movie's good. Also, we're drinking this, lifting my glass, because apparently the Merrifields and the Shirleys may be going on a team vacation later in the year.
Oh my God!
And Mike, if you want to go to Quebec and Montreal,
let us know.
Mid to late June,
really?
That's when we're going. So,
damn it, I'm probably going to Yellowstone at that point.
Oh, nice.
That's fun.
You gonna go kill a buffalo, Mike?
Don't touch the buffalo, Mike.
I just want to see a geyser. I want to see this underground volcano.
You know what's crazy about that, Mike? Is that
I'll find a way.
Yellowstone was on our short list too. So I mean, this may have been it was almost a near miss on a Regalado Merrifield vacation. But that's pretty nuts.
That's crazy, and it's crazy because my buddy Mikey, who I've talked about a few times on this show, he's the one that I had that yearbook with on the Queen Mary for that festival.
Yeah.
at the Queen Mary. Yeah, it's very very weird. I wonder where that notebook is, that yearbook is. Anyway, almost got Iggy Pop to sign it. Didn't happen. Anyway, Mars Volta signed it, so that's cool. Anyway, back on track. What were we talking about?
You're searching up Ballast Point.
Ballast Point, Little Italy is the only thing I came up with in San Diego.
San Diego, there you go.
But I don't know if that's the same thing. It looks like it might be. Brewing Company.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anywho,
I'll figure it out.
Thank you very much. It's on India Street.
Vacations.
Vacations?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mikey's probably going to go to Yellowstone too. So,
oh, nice. We'll have a good
missed time. Out on a big old party. Yeah, sorry, I'm so off track tonight.
That's okay.
Anyway,
anywho, thank you very much for supporting What's Brewing Show. You can support us for how much, Mike?
$2.
Just $2 on Patreon.com/What's Brewing Show or What'sBrewingShow.com, or you can also support us on the Substack. whatsbrewing.substack.com. And, you know, we really appreciate you supporting the What's Brewing Show over the years, and hope that you continue to do so, and thank you very much.
Blue 32! Blue 32! California! California! Hey! Football!
All right, well, Bill is MFing me right now as soon as he heard the theme going. He's like, what are we talking about football for? But we talk football all the time, Bill. There's no getting out of it.
God.
There hasn't been a whole lot of news other than there was a little more smoke this week about Chip Kelly. Now he's going to be the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, apparently. So he's been pegged as...
I'd be down for that.
Okay. Sure. Why? Why is that? For the Raiders or for the Bruins in that one? Who wins that equation?
Well, I mean...
Is it a win-win for everybody?
I'd say... Okay, look.
So he's going to go under Antonio Pierce? I don't think so. Keep going, Mike.
Dude, if he can revitalize that, I mean, that's... Well, the Raiders need a lot of help on all fronts, but at least they'll have a good offense. They'll be able to score.
If you were wondering what I at least think about all of the Chip Kelly returning to the NFL rumors again for like the third or fourth year in a row.
Yeah.
Last week, about the middle of the episode. Bill, what are your thoughts on all of this smoke?
I think there is something there, but whether or not it goes through... That he might be looking. I mean, it sort of makes sense, Jake. It makes sense that, he knows the faith from the administrators is not that high, for him right now. And if he can find a way out while staying close to California, if he went to the Raiders, he could just fly in and fly out really easy and still keep his home here.
Seriously.
Because I know one of the things I've heard, Mike, and you can talk about this too, is one of the things I've heard is his wife really likes it here in California, likes the weather, likes that stuff. So, you know, if he could still keep his home and keep it relatively close where he is, I think the Raiders would be good. It's a win for the Raiders if they use him correctly and allow him to have his say in terms of the offense. I don't know. I do not know anything about that coach. Is Antonio Pierce, right? And it's a win for us that where we could at UCLA start over with another coach and hopefully take another swing at a guy who's hungry and ready to recruit and ready to rock and roll. So we'll see.
If you were wondering, you know, what the different stories are like, this is the type of story that you're getting. Chip Kelly might be eyeing a return to the NFL, might be eyeing. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk noted some people around the league have speculated that the head football coach could be targeting the Los Angeles Raiders offensive coordinator opening. Like, that's what all these stories are like. Might be eyeing, speculated that, could be targeting. You know, that's the type of language you're getting. And it's like, to me, it's just, look, would I be flummoxed or would I be completely shocked and surprised if Kelly left for an NFL job? No, I wouldn't. However, I think all these stories are failing to take into account the other part of Chip Kelly, which it seems like he likes coaching this age group and he likes being, you know, in charge of a program and he likes being at UCLA where apparently they don't hold him to any sort of standard. He just kind of does whatever he wants, right? I mean, the fans all, you know, half revolted on him right now, but so far he's kind of able to do what he wants to do in the program right now. And like Bill said, that might be short-lived, but as of right now, the expiration date isn't this year. The funniest thing I heard was somebody said, and tell me if the math works right on this. And they're like, well, he's going to make $6 million this year. But if he goes to the NFL and he gets a job for $2 million a year, well, you know, after 3 or 4 years, you know, he breaks even. Like, it's the same amount of money. I'm like, Bill, if you made $6 million for 1 year or you made $6 million over 3 or 4 years, which one would you prefer?
Yeah. The $6 million over 1 year.
And they're trying to make the argument like, oh, gee whiz, it's like the same. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, give me a freaking break. So anyways, I am a little like I just wanted to resolve. So hopefully we get all these jobs get filled one way or the other very soon. And if one of them's Chip Kelly, then we can, you know, throw a party or whatever. You know, I'm sure there'll be a mass, you know, one of these from the fan base.
Well, half the fan base.
Well, no, I
would say 3/4 of the fan base.
I would say there's probably some people that would be like, that would lament it, but I would say the vast majority of the fan base is either going to be like, oh my God, ding dong, the witch is dead, or they're going to be like me. True. And be like, I'm just glad that it's over so we can stop talking about it. And so like the bad juju can go away, right? Because it's like, just there's so much baggage that we can't get away from it. No matter what, if anybody tweets his name or says his name, then you get all the, this is just like, it's almost as bad as the Clay Helton stuff, you know, over at SC, you know, or the, not Mike Garrett, who was the AD, Pat Hayden, the Pat Hayden stuff over at SC, as far as like every time his name would come up, it would just be, you know, a million tweets about how, you know, how he needs to be fired or whatever. So anyways, if you, I guess we already turned it into another rant, but I ran about it last week too. We won't be surprised it happens, but if it does happen, if it doesn't happen, I mean, it just seems like smoke to me. It's happened every goddamn year for the last 3 years. The other thing I want to talk about just briefly, and guys, Bill, Mike, I want you to prepare yourselves.
Yeah.
Just what's your right now quick prognosis on UCLA going to the Big Ten? Give me three sentences on it. Mike, UCLA first season in the Big Ten, knowing what we know about what their roster is at this point, not about what they may gain or lose by spring, not about who their coach may or may not be by spring. But so right now, if they're going in with the guys they got and the guys they got committed, three sentences on the prognosis for UCLA football in the Big Ten in 2024. Go.
Okay, thank God, because there's a lot of stuff that's still in play. But if what we have now is what we have in September, then I think UCLA will have an improved offense,
over
a questionable defense. Wait, over this last year?
Yeah, they're going to improve over where they were, right? It's not improved over the of the Chip Kelly era.
Yeah. No, of course. Defense, again, if everything is constant through September, I would have a big question mark on the defense, seeing if Akeka Malo can actually keep the defense consistent. They're going to have a lot less talent. Can they develop enough guys to maybe step up or at least hold the ship down? I don't think they're going to be horrible. I think they could be at least very mediocre, considering the consistency they're having from 1 year to the next. I would say they would be okay. No, going into the I'm thinking of something separate, but going into the Big Ten, I think it's going to be tougher.
Get to the chopper!
Three sentences, Mike.
A 500 team.
Okay, and we're gonna test that in a moment. Thank you very much, Mike. Bill, 3 to 7 sentences in the vein of Mike. Go.
I think
I had a lot of commas. That was three sentences.
That is very true. That is
I had
true.
A
that
lot of commas. A lot go. Of commas.
In your defense, that is true.
All right, so here we go. Just real quick, I think the way, as Mike said, the way it is right now, with the players they've brought in, I think it's going to be a little bit better on offense. I think it's going to be pretty bad on defense. I know you guys are like, you know, like, oh, it's good. I think it's going to be pretty bad on defense. In terms of the record, I think they will be at best 7-5.
Oh, okay.
At best,
that's optimistic
7-5.
From Bill.
Yeah,
where I thought.
And the last thing would be if they are at best 7-5. I think this would be the end of the tenure for good old Chip.
Oh, you think 7-5 would get him fired? Why do you think that would get him fired?
I said at best.
At that point.
Okay. No, if they went 7-5, do you think he'd get fired?
I do.
You do. Why would they fire him?
It would be more of the same
digression.
Yeah, and it'd be going even worse than what it is now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to wrap my brain around that because I felt like the last couple of weeks you guys have been saying they're going to get clobbered going to the Big Ten. So if he went 7-5 and had a winning record,
it
would be another year in which he had a winning record.
At best.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to
rephrase
it?
They're
more likely going to be five and what did I say? They have 5 wins or 6 wins.
Okay. Well, hold on. Put a pin in that because I do want to go down the list. Okay. So I'm going to ask for wins and losses from you guys just going down the UCLA schedule real quick. Okay. At Hawaii, okay. I will say at Hawaii, win. Bill.
Excuse me.
Oh my God. Jake.
At Hawaii.
Win.
Okay. Thank you. Mike.
Oh my God. Win. Are we really going to do this?
Yeah. It's going to, how long is it going to take? The more you protest, the longer it's going to take. You want to make a big deal out of it, then we're not going to do it. You don't want to do it?
Jake.
Screw you.
We've already done it.
We've already done this. You're making it take longer than it needs to take.
Oh my God.
We already did this. When do we do this?
We did this a few weeks ago.
We did not do this.
Mike. Can mommy and daddy stop fighting?
Lord.
Bill, you're making it really hard right now. We could already been done, but no, you got to chip in.
Go ahead.
You
got
to just talk. Hosting Indiana, Bill.
I think you skipped something, but okay. Indiana.
At Hawaii, and now I'm saying hosting Indiana.
Win.
Thank you, Mike.
Win.
Okay, thank you very much. At LSU.
Loss.
Okay, Bill.
Loss.
Mike. Okay, good.
Loss.
Hosting Oregon.
Loss.
Loss.
Okay. At And I'm going to give you the record of the team playing in from last year.
Give us a name.
At 7-2 Penn State from last year in the Big Ten.
Loss.
10-3 overall.
Loss.
Okay. Hosting the Minnesota Golden
Loss.
Gophers, who were 3-6 and 6-7 last year.
Loss.
Win.
Okay.
Win.
Why are you saying loss on that one, Bill? just curious.
I just think their coach is better, and I think they'll have him in a better place.
Okay. At Rutgers, who finished 3-6 and 7-6.
Win.
Okay. At Nebraska, who finished...
Loss.
3-6 and 5-7 overall.
Loss.
Okay. You're a loss, Mike.
Yep.
Hosting Iowa, who scored 14 points all of last season.
Oh.
No, they're hosting Iowa, and Iowa was 7-2 and 10-4.
I'm going to go win.
No, no, no. Iowa has like an insane defense, right? Don't they have like an insane...
Yes, that's what they're known for, and no offense.
Yeah, so but I'm going to say...
But going again.
No, I'm going to say loss.
Okay. Mikey? I didn't hear you.
Win.
Okay. Oh, my darn pen's not working anymore. You know, Bill, if you wouldn't have sabotaged my pen, this would already be done. But you did. At Washington, who's lost their entire team.
Loss.
What are you guys basing that on? Do you think it's like a blowout loss, or what do you think on that one?
It doesn't matter. It's because a loss.
The last time they were in Washington, and Washington literally has a new coach and their entire team turned over.
Yeah, they had the fish.
Yeah, they didn't have. Yeah.
Okay, so both lost for you guys. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Hosting SC.
Loss.
Based on
them getting Danton. I forgot his last name. You know what I'm talking about. Lynn.
Danton Lynn.
Danton Lynn, their co-defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to go with
pretty pessimistic.
Win.
Oh, Mike's going to win. Okay, yeah, because Bill really is a Trojan fan. And then the last game, they're hosting the Fresno State Bulldogs.
Oh, loss.
Win.
Okay. All right. So I think we definitely had this revealed as the pessimistic side and maybe the optimistic side, but let's see what this tabulated to. All right, so Mike, you had him at 7-5, which is right on where Bill said what the high water mark could be for them. Bill, on the other hand, said that they could be 7-5 at the best case scenario, which
what was my
Bill pick? Actually predicted him to be, and I think this is a completely spiteful picking.
No, it's not.
Absolutely spiteful. You heard the tone of his voice during this and some of the picks he made, but he had him at 3-9. 3-9. Now, I will say absolutely positively,
Jake, what did
if
you
the
pick?
Bruins go 3-9, they're going to fire Chip Kelly. I'm a little skeptical at the fire. I'm at 7-5. And if they go the record that I picked them at, which I would say is a truly, truly, absolutely most optimistic 9-3.
Yeah, say that again.
Ridiculous. Look, all acknowledge it's ridiculous. But it's every bit as ridiculous as Bill's 3-9. I think those two are absolute ridiculoso picks.
If you take that spectrum between 3-9 and 9-3,
we land at the reasonable drunk Mike Regalado at 7-5.
I think it's going to be more on my side. I think it's going to be higher trend. I mean, Jake, Mike, can we put money on... We could put money on anything. Is there like a bet for like what UCLA ends the season? Can we do that? Because I would... Let's do that.
Oh,
let's,
my God, Bill.
It'll be the $10
Bill,
or something.
Bill,
come on,
how have you done a sports podcast for 10 years and you don't understand like things like plus and minus? You understand that they have like season total bets?
I don't bet. I don't bet like this. So,
God, it's like...
But let's do
you,
it.
You amaze me.
Mike, are you down for $5 or $10 bet?
Well, we have to find out.
We should sure. do it. That's what we should do for this.
What are we going to do?
Hold on.
Let me first explain... That, yeah, you can bet on that.
Yes.
The Vegas will release a season win total, and yep. they'll probably set the Bruins at 5 or 6 or 7 or something.
Yes.
And then you can bet that they'll come under or over that, right?
Let's do it.
That's how it does work. However, you're trying to say, well, let's have a what's Bruin bet, like amongst us.
I was trying to say for Vegas. I'm literally saying like...
Okay, we won't know that until they release the season totals, which comes sometime over the summer. Why don't we do a bet right now amongst us? A gentleman's bet.
Gentleman's bet. No, let's put money on it. $5 or $10. Just $5 or $10.
No, a gentleman's bet involving money.
Okay.
I guess you're right. You're right. Gentleman's bet. That was kind of money. For me. That was kind of a let's switch up and run it back sort of argument.
Yes.
You're right. It's not a gentleman's bet. I want to bet $1. No, more than $1.
$2, Mortimer.
No, let's put some money on this. Mikey, are you good for $5, $10, $15?
$5.
$15. Mom and Daddy, you gonna stop arguing at all tonight?
No.
$5.
You're not here to get between us, Mike.
$5. $5 says...
$5?
I'm the closest. That out of those picks, I'm... Okay, so who is the closest to... And Mike's probably going to win. But who is the closest to the season-ending record?
Okay, so I'll take that bet. Winner for you would be
two,
less than three,
three, four.
Yeah.
2, 3, or 4 would be mine.
5, 6, 7 would be
Mike,
right? The range.
I think, right? 5,
6. I don't know.
Okay, maybe I can get
5. I think I'm going to give you all the way up to 5.
Okay, 5. And then Mike would get 6, 7, 8. Oh, no.
I only have one winning number. It's kind of a shitty bet for me.
Well, you get 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, I mean, you get all that.
Yeah, okay,
there you
sure.
Go.
Yeah, that's really reasonable. Thanks, guys. You guys are such givers.
Oh, 9 wins is totally reasonable.
Yeah, I'm already way on the outlier side. How about this? Well, I don't know.
I'll just take 4, 5. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 3, 4, and 5.
This is top.
That's what we just gave you,
by the way.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. And then Mike gets 6, 7, 8, and I get 9.
Mike doesn't get
this
8.
Fucked up shit, guys.
Mike doesn't get 8.
Why not? It's 1. I need a range. Just because I'm dead in the middle doesn't mean I don't want range, sir.
Yeah.
Damn it.
whatever.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Well, yeah.
This is
dumb.
This is great podcasting.
Anyways. I just, I am still skeptical of how good or how tough of a transition it will be to go into the Big Ten as far as like just them absolutely bottoming out. But I really am curious, like, if you guys think he's going to get fired at 7-5, I think that's great because that means that they still have high expectations for him. And if he goes 7-5, I'm right there with you. Like, let's move on. But if they didn't move on after this year, what the hell are they going to move on after? And I just feel like there's so many narratives they could paint for, oh, well, you know, they're in the Big Ten and they're over 500, that I'm really worried about that. So hopefully fans are like us and they are willing to hold his feet to the fire a little bit. And look, if he outperforms what we're all expecting next year, then great, right? But if it's more of the same, then Jesus, God, give us some change, right? I think that's where we're at. Okay, Bill, thanks for participating.
We're done. We're good.
We're not quite done.
Yes, we are.
No, we got to do your favorite part of the show.
Yes.
Which is?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
You ask me.
What's wrong with me?
It's not even 8:30 yet, Bill.
What's wrong with you?
I fed you.
I
gave you soda. And by the way, we started late too. Like the door to door on this podcast has really been like an hour.
I know. I'm still tired.
Bill, what's wrong with you?
Listen, it was fun. Jake, the Shirley family invited themselves over for the UCLA game,
which is always fun.
And it was fun getting all the kids and everyone together for the game. And it was good. It was fun to watch. It was interesting. It was fun to watch UCLA beat USC by 15. First time Mick Cronin won there. That was fun. We all liked it. But then it was even more interesting to see Jake get so much more pumped for the Laker game that came afterwards. I was like, Jake was getting
and they haven't
like,
won since. I'm very sad.
Amped up. I mean, it was a good, by the way.
To be fair, it was one of the best games of a NBA regular season in a long time.
It was good. It was a double overtime win for the Lakers, but Jake was all over it. I'm like, Jake, you didn't get this amped up when UCLA was down or up during the SC game. He's like, oh, you know. And he said simply, Bill, and he has his two hands up in terms of levels. Here's UCLA football. Here's Laker basketball. And then there's everything else underneath it.
That's true.
That's true.
Like, I can't say different.
Yeah, it is what it is. But it was like...
In my defense, I was cooking a meal for a good chunk of the UCLA game. And then by the time... Like, they were winning. It was a game that we were very happy to see them win. But there wasn't a whole lot of drama to the game, relatively speaking. They were controlling the game most of the way through.
That's true.
So it wasn't much excitement. But I will acknowledge that's irrelevant to the point you're making.
Which is UCLA football, Laker basketball.
And everything else.
And then everything else.
That's
so,
me.
So that's what was brewing with me. Mike, what's
brewing
with
you? That's why this is my favorite freaking drop to play.
I would like to avoid the basketball shows for as long as possible.
Which is, weird as a What's Brewing podcast, but whatever. Mikey, what's brewing?
Oh, I just had a long weekend of basketball. I didn't go to the women's game against Washington on Friday. I saw that at home. Chilled out because I knew that the next 2 days were going to be pretty busy. And especially games in the middle of the day kind of throw you off. It's like I can't really plan for the morning or the evening. But I went to the men's game, as I said, at USC. That was pretty cool coming away with an actual win. Crazy thing that whenever we do the post game pressers with Mick Cronin, they're always in a hallway. And the last 4 times with UCLA winning, it's been really loud and the acoustics are horrible and you could barely hear him. This time, the crowd took off. We didn't hear anything from the arena. I got clear audio. I'm very happy about that. I know that's a nerdy thing to be happy about.
Good job, Mike.
And then I went to the women's game on Sunday. And today I had basketball. So this is the reason I'm remote, because my daughters were, they had a game tonight. And yeah, I had to go from the West Side to freaking Claremont.
Yeesh.
Was it worth it though, Mike?
Was it worth it?
It always is. Oh, good. I love seeing them play. And it was at, I haven't been out there in a while, and it was actually a really gorgeous sunset. Luckily, on the way home, I found a Chipotle nearby, so I had that. And
what'd you get, Mike?
Drove back.
You got the steak, yeah, chicken, carnitas.
Oh, veggie burrito.
Good lord.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me 2 hours. Wow.
Woo! Woof.
And these drops are so clear too. Amazing.
Yeah, it is great.
But yeah, it took me over 2 hours to get to Claremont. It took me maybe 35 minutes to get home.
Oh, that's good.
God damn, I hate traffic.
Yeah,
traffic. Anyway, man. Jake, what's brewing with you?
Not a whole lot, other than, you know, I'm always eyeballing, you know, how to expand the show in my post professional career. And mm-hmm. I'm very happy. You know, what's currently going on with work has got me very, very busy. But I think now there's going to be a legal podcast starting at some point called The Two Jakes, because it's going to be me and my good buddy.
Oh.
Right now he's a public defender, but eventually he'll be a super rich private lawyer.
Have you talked to him about this already?
Oh yeah, we already got it in the works. But
really quickly,
me, Jake, and him, Jake, talking about the law and whatnot. Go ahead, Mikey.
Well, with the law in mind, you got to be careful for a copyright infringer with that name. What about the both Jakes? Oh.
We'll have to go with some sort of oblique reference to that and whatever. I'll take my chances. But I mean, I do. Half the team will be a lawyer that can, you know, hopefully shed us from any legal proceedings. However, I'm pretty sure now I already knew I had, you know, this guy's a defense attorney. I know I have a few prosecutors in the bag that I would feel more than comfortable approaching for the show to talk about things. And now I'm fairly confident I have a very, very, like a superstar homicide detective in my back pocket now too, just
nice.
Through the experience I've had in the last week and a half or so. So it's good, you know. It's nice, you know, being a professional, an aging professional, but knowing that you have something fun in store down the line, another project to work on. So that's going to be in development. So can't wait for that. And you know, whatever that's coming to you, I don't know, Bill. When did I say I was retiring?
Late 50s, right? Mid to late 50s.
Oh, you are out of your mind. If I'm in my mid to late 50s by the time I retire, I'm gonna come beat you up. No, I'm looking at, like, you know, inside 5 to 7 years.
Jake, you're like 50 right now.
That'd be mid 50s, Bill. And I'm not 50. I'm not even 49. You dick.
You're about to
Bill's
be 49.
A dick.
And Jake Bill's a dick. Is old.
Bill's a dick.
Yeah, but 50's a new 30.
Tell our bodies that, Mike.
The oldest I'll be when I retire is 55. So there you go.
Yeah, no shit.
All right. Anywho. God bless America. God bless the union. Unions, right? And a nice pension. And until next time, we love you all. Mikey, by the way, what happened to the women's basketball postgame, bro?
You know, I did them. I did what... I was actually going to bring this up.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a lot I got to figure out with that. I might have a few ways of trying to record that, but in the moment, it was really hard to try to put, you know, to talk through one account and then to record the other. I was getting a little bit of feedback.
Okay, because you're so, like, God, very enthusiastic, and I said, well, let's just try to be patient about it, and you're like, no, we're announcing it. So we're just going to say that it's a work in progress, and we're efforting to bring it to the people, right?
Sure.
But you did it.
I did, yes.
But I want to put it on the feed is what I want. So we got to figure out a way to do that.
We'll talk after the show. Okay. I think I have a way.
All right, good. And okay, so until next time, the last thing I want to say is we love Nancy, and God bless her. And Bill, until next time.
Go Bruins.
Good evening.
Smoke them if you got it.
That was the What's Bruin Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, bro, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.